scruple to jostle him aside, while one, less kind than the rest, or more of a wag, by an unobserved stroke, dexterously flattened down his fleecy hat upon his head. Without readjusting it, the stranger quietly turned, and writing anew upon the slate, again held it up. "Charity suffereth long, and is kind." Illy pleased with his pertinacity, as they thought it, the crowd a second time thrust him aside, and not without epithets and some buffets, all of which were unresented. But as if at last, despairing of so difficult an adventure, wherein one, apparently a non-resistant, sought to impose his presence upon fighting characters, the stranger now moved slowly away, yet not before altering his writing to this: "Charity endureth all things." Shield-like bearing his slate before him amid stares and jeers, he moved slowly up and down, at his turning points again changing his inscription to "Charity believeth all things," and then "Charity never faileth." The word charity, as originally traced, remained throughout uneffaced, not unlike the left-hand numeral of a printed date, otherwise left for convenience in blank. To some observers, the singularity, if not lunacy, of the stranger was heightened by his muteness, and perhaps also by the contrast to his proceedings afforded in the actions, quite in the wonted and sensible order of things, of the barber of the boat, whose quarters under a smoking saloon and over against a barroom was next door but two to the captain's office. As if the long, wide, covered deck, hereabouts built up on both sides with shop-like windowed spaces, were some Constantinople arcade or bazaar, where more than one trade is plied, this river barber aproned and slippered, but rather crusty-looking for the moment, it may be from being newly out of bed, was throwing open his premises for the day and suitably arranging the exterior. With business-like dispatch, having rattled down his shutters and at a palm-tree angle set out in the iron fixture his little ornamental pole, and this without overmuch tenderness for the elbows and toes of the crowd, he concluded his operations by bidding people stand still more aside, when, jumping on a stool, he hung over his door on the customary nail a gaudy sort of illuminated pasteboard sign, skillfully executed by himself, gilt with the likeness of a razor, elbowed in readiness to shave, and also, for the public benefit, with two words not unfrequently seen ashore gracing other shops besides barbers: "No trust." An inscription which, though in a sense not less intrusive than the contrasted ones of the stranger, did not, as it seemed, provoke any corresponding derision or surprise, much less indignation, and still less, to all appearances, did it gain for the inscriber the repute of being a simpleton. Meanwhile, he with the slate continued moving slowly up and down, not without causing some stares to change into jeers, and some jeers into pushes, and some pushes into punches, when suddenly in one of his turns he was hailed from behind by two porters carrying a large trunk. But as the summons, though loud, was without effect, they accidentally or otherwise swung their burden against him, nearly overthrowing him, when, by a quick start, a peculiar inarticulate moan and a pathetic telegraphing of his fingers, he voluntarily betrayed that he was not alone dumb, but also deaf. Presently, as if not wholly unaffected by his reception thus far, he went forward, seating himself in a retired spot on the forecastle, nigh the foot of a ladder there leading to a deck above, up and down which ladder some of the boatmen in discharge of their duties were occasionally going. From his betaking himself to this humble quarter, it was evident that, as a deck passenger, the stranger, simple though he seemed, was not entirely ignorant of his place, though his taking a deck passage might have been partly for convenience, as, from his having no luggage, it was probable that his destination was one of the small wayside landings within a few hours' sail. But though he might not have a long way to go, yet he seemed already to have come from a very long distance. Though neither soiled nor slovenly, his cream-colored suit had a tossed look, almost linty, as if traveling night and day from some far country beyond the prairie.